Cape Talk, food with Zola Nene.
Always a pleasure to get to the first Monday of the month and be able to say welcome back to Zola. Of course, if you don't know who she is, you should. She's an espresso TV chef, a cookbook author, and an award-winning presenter at that. Lovely to have you back with us.
Oh, always a pleasure to be here.
Now, we had such fun chatting last time Zola was here about Chinese food that we thought today we'll carry on the conversation about international cuisine and just cast the net a little bit wider.
Absolutely.
So we'd like you to tell us what your favorite international cuisine is, what dishes you love to eat, which restaurants in Cape Town offer a really authentic version of that food. Maybe you want to ask a question about preparing one of your favorite dishes, and whatever it is, whether it's Italian, whether it's Vietnamese, Mexican, French, whatever the cuisine may be that you love, phone us, join the conversation. Let's talk about cooking it. Let's talk about the wonderful dishes it includes and where you buy your ingredients, anything like that. By way of added incentive to call in today, I'm giving away a copy of a wonderful restaurant guide by food writer Jenny Handley. It's called The Gourmet Guide, and it's a little different from your run-of-the-mill restaurant guide because it's not only about telling you about wonderful places to eat. It actually shares the background stories of the chefs who are working there, some of their signature recipes. So Luke Dale Roberts' herb-seared fishes in there, for example. Liam Tomlin's warm chocolate fondant. I got as far as that page and just got stuck there for some reason. But 60 of the featured chefs have contributed recipes. So it's sort of part review, part cookbook, which is really lovely. Wonderful. And also what I love about this book, Zola, is that it doesn't only talk about the food and the decor of the restaurants and the service, etc. It also rates them on their commitment to sustainability and responsibility and waste management and that kind of thing.
Oh, I love that.
Really different. Yeah,
very responsible.
So the JHP Gourmet Guide, it's valued at 300 Rand. It is yours if you're our most interesting caller today on 021-446-0567. Remember, you can also join the conversation by leaving a voice note on WhatsApp or by sending an SMS to 31567. Do you have a favorite international cuisine?
Ooh, to pick a favorite is so difficult because, you know, I said before last time that I travel with the intent to eat and to learn more about a country's cuisine. So, and also I pick where I go based on
the food.
You know, the food. So, everywhere I've gone has obviously impressed me in some way, but I really love Thai food. So Thailand was incredible for me, and actually visiting India and, you know, eating authentic Indian food was also a really huge highlight. I went to Scandinavia, you know, many years ago, and the food scene hadn't taken off. So I now feel like I missed out, and I now need to go back. So but top of my list, definitely Thai food and Indian cuisine.
I'm really interested to hear about some of the more obscure ones that people have visited and want to tell us about. I do recall when I was interviewing somebody about her travels through South America, it was Susie Chats Anderson, about her wonderful book about cooking Latin American food. We had a caller in who had eaten guinea pig in South America, who had tried everything that was presented to her.
I have a friend who does exactly the same.
And I'm always a little bit in awe of people who will eat like that. I try to. There are just a few things at which you kind of go, I don't know if I'm brave enough to try that. I think I'm getting braver as I get older.
I mean, me too. I'm very squeamish, funny enough. I have a really bad gag reflex, which I'm sure I've mentioned before, and all my friends can attest to it. So I can push the boundaries every now and then, but sort of, you know, it shows. I start gagging and then it goes all bad and then I offend someone and it's all, but I try to be as adventurous as possible. Whenever I visit a place, I make a point to eat what the locals are eating. So I stay away from sort of the mainstream, you know, chain restaurants and all that stuff that you get back home. And I try to eat like on the street and the real stuff.
I think I've told the story before, but I'll tell it again. The most heartbreaking thing I think I've seen in my travels was arriving at Bologna train station. And Bologna is the food capital of Italy. I mean,
absolutely,
the food is to die for.
Yeah.
And the line out of McDonald's was around the corner. And I sort of looked and thought,
why?
You know what you are missing. If you take three steps forward and three to the left, there is a little street vendor selling the best panini you will ever taste in your life. And it was just that, we'll go with what's familiar because it feels safe. You're missing out on
shame.
So much of the experience. We're inviting you to tell us what you've tried, what you've loved, which cuisines you love experimenting with, to ask a question about preparing dishes. Anything goes on 021-446-0567. Helene in Brackenfell, good afternoon.
Hello, Papa. Hello, guest.
Hello.
Zola is her name.
Yes, Zola. I want to know, how do you prepare madumbish?
Oh, that's a great
that
question.
That is such a great question.
Right now, there's a lot of them in Pick and Pay, the family store here in our town. And was absolutely a wonderful $39.99 price per kilo.
So very affordable.
Yeah, but I want to know how to cook them. I've only bought one yet just to teach to taste it. But I want to know if there's a traditional dish to prepare it.
Right, that's a great question.
That is a really great question, and it's funny because I introduced them to my friend just the other day who'd never tasted them before. So traditionally, I mean, we love them. Growing up in Durban, we used to grow them on the farm, and they're such a treat still for my family because it's so hard to get them in the Western Cape. So thank you, Pick and Pay, for bringing them to us. So traditionally, we eat them just boiled plain in their skins, boiled with salt until they're really tender. So they do take quite a while to boil until they're very, very soft because you don't really want anything crunchy or hard. And then we eat them just dipped in salt. So you peel them, dip them in salt while eating them. But for someone who wants to be a bit more adventurous, and I've also tried sort of doing other things with them, so treat them exactly as you would a potato.
So could you do a madumbi bake as you would do a potato bake?
Absolutely, you could make a potato bake. They tend to be on the slimy side, so just be wary of the texture. So don't be alarmed if that's the texture that you end up with. That's how they are. I grate them raw and make rostis out of them. If I describe the flavor, it's the texture of a potato, but with a bit of a smokier, earthier flavor, if you will. There's just something a little more woodsy about madumbes. Yeah. And they are really delicious. I wish more people would eat them. Or maybe actually I wish less people would eat them because then the price will go up and then I can't eat them. It's okay. I'll share.
You'll share.
I'll share. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, treat them like a potato and experiment. Yeah. So boiled, you could even substitute them for regular potatoes in potato salad, which would be really, really interesting. I love them. They're so good. So good.
Okay. Now that I know they're here, I'm going to make a point of going to look for them and try them out. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad somebody asked me what I ate in Madagascar. Yeah. I'm so happy to talk. I ate so much. Have you ever traveled to Madagascar?
I haven't. That's why I'm so jealous. You, Papa. Why didn't you take me with you?
Next time, because there will be a next time.
Okay, good.
And in fact, I haven't forgotten the promise to do a segment on travel to Madagascar. In fact, we're hoping to do it next week, Tuesday. But for now, just to tell you about the food.
Yes.
Certainly, where I was in Nosy Be, right on the northwestern tip, it's island living, so it's very much about fresh seafood and tropical fruit. And, oh, my word, the combination of those two. Think the most simple dishes, salads with grapefruit and prawn.
Oh, delicious.
And a light vinaigrette dressing, very little else to them. They seem capable of taking just three or four ingredients and combining them in the most divine combinations. So lots of fresh seafood. And what I particularly enjoyed having my kids with me there was being able to show them seafood at source, as it were.
Wow.
They got to see what a squid looks like.
Right.
They were like, what is that? And like, that's going to turn into calamari later. And for them, it was the first time seeing calamari before it became crumb strips or rings in a stir fry or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Beautiful fresh fish, straight out of the sea onto the barbecue. Lots and lots and lots of garlic. Apologies, I think needed for about a week after coming home. Lots of garlic, lots of ginger. Turmeric used quite commonly.
Oh, wow.
A little bit of curry powder. So there was quite a bit of spice to the food. And then really interesting, vanilla in savory dishes. I mean, we've obviously all know vanilla essence and pods, etc. in baking.
Yeah.
But it was the first time I can think of that I've had vanilla in savory cooking.
Oh, wow, because it's grown and quite...
It's one of their big industries. The vanilla and green peppercorns as well.
Okay.
So that was an absolute revelation. And then the limes. I actually snuck some limes home in my luggage. I don't know if I was allowed to, but I did because...
we won't tell anyone.
No gin and tonic has ever tasted as good as the one with those limes in it. Absolutely. Just a beautiful, not as sweet as the ones I bought here. So it was a really sour, tangy... Oh, so fresh fruit, fresh fish... Very simple cooking.
Lovely.
Really not fussy. Yeah. Everything was, it tasted like what it was and where it came from.
That's fantastic. Because you don't want to ruin seafood that's that
yes,
fresh.
Yes, by overspicing it and making it taste of the sauce and not of the fish. So it was an absolute revelation. And I forgot to mention their beef, the zebu, their cow. It's a particular brand of cow, listen to me, breed of cow with a big hump on the back behind the neck.
Oh, right.
So quite unusual to look at, but that meat was incredibly tender and full of flavor.
Oh, wow. And fatty in its...
No, well, I didn't see a fat zebu anywhere on the island. They all looked incredibly skinny driving past them and eating it. It was incredibly moist, but it was cooked very fast. So it, wasn't a fatty. Certainly the cuts that we saw being prepared were all quite lean cuts. I don't know if they're all like that.
Okay.
But really, really delicious, packed full of flavor.
Lovely. Yeah. So you called it zebu.
Zebu. Z-E-B-U.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in those limes you're talking about. Mm. So when I went to Thailand and they were sort of cooking with limes, as well, I was interested to learn that their limes do come with seeds in. Our limes that we get, we always sort of distinguish between a lime and a lemon if one's, you know, both
which
are green.
Which has got seeds.
Which
yeah.
has got seeds, we call a lemon, which doesn't, we call a lime. And when I got to Thailand, there were seeds in all the citrus fruit. And I was like, but is this a lime? And they were like, yeah, limes. They were like, Zola, that's lame. They do have seeds in
them. Yes, these ones I think had... I'm almost certain had some seeds in them.
Yeah.
Although they were very small and very soft, but they were there.
Yeah.
Hadn't thought of that before. Yeah. Okay. We're taking your calls with questions about any international cuisine, whether you want advice on cooking it, whether you want to tell us which restaurant serves up a really authentic version of that cuisine in Cape Town. Please get dialing on 021-446-0567. I had an email in from, I don't know if it's George or Jorge, based on the spelling, but he loves Italian food and wanted to know about making tiramisu. And it was an interesting one. I have my instinctive answer, but I'm interested to hear yours. So his question is, when making tiramisu and using the egg yolk, should one cook it first? Because he said, I've made it with raw egg yolks, only to have my guests refuse to eat it because it's raw egg and they're worried about salmonella.
Oh.
The next time I cooked the eggs in a double boiler, and then I had a Sicilian guest say, you should never cook the egg. What are you doing?
Well, there you have it.
Which one is right?
If it comes from a Sicilian, where the dessert comes from, you should listen to the Sicilian. I have a Sicilian friend, and I'm pretty sure that he would also concur, don't cook the egg whites, the egg yolks, because traditionally that's not what they do. You must just know that when you add sugar to egg yolks, it also cooks the egg yolk. So if you do an experiment for yourself and you put a bit of sugar on an egg yolk and you just leave it for a while, you'll come back to it and it'll look different because it cooks it. The sugar actually cooks the egg yolk. So it is safe to eat. I mean, if you're using safe eggs and pasteurized eggs, etc., then you have nothing to worry about. But I understand how your guests might be, you know, a bit weary. So I think you did the right thing by, you know, doing it over a double boiler. But like I said, you know, if you're sticking to tradition, a Sicilian will tell you the right way to do it. And that's the traditional way.
That was my gut response as well. If a Sicilian's telling you, that's pretty safe as your guidance. Okay, I hope that helps you, George or Jorge, and good luck next time you cook it. Love this message saying, my mouth is still watering from your interview about curry last week. Thank you. Yes, if you missed it, please go and look for the podcast on our Facebook page and website, Ishe Governor Ipner's new book. Have you seen it, Zola?
Not only do I love Ishe, but that book is everything.
It is.
It's more than a cookbook. It's stories, real people telling real stories and sort of bridging the gap and making us realize that, you know, we're more the same than we are different. And I love that she used curry as a medium to tell those stories.
It's beautifully written.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And how beautiful is Ishe? I tell her every time I see her. My goodness. She's strikingly
a wonderful
beautiful
guest too. And I'm so glad. I've had so many people responding saying they ordered the book and they're loving cooking from it already. But anyway, thank you to whoever sent that question. Their question is, where is the best place to eat good authentic curry here in Cape Town?
Ooh, okay. So, So I have to say, if I can venture out of Cape Town just for a second, Marigold. I experienced it 2 weeks ago or 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it is the most delicious Indian food I have eaten in a really, really long time. It's just every single bite is just so complex. Each of the curries tastes different because often when you go to a curry house, you share curries and they all start tasting the same. At Marigold, you can have exactly the same experience. So sharing, but every single bite is distinctly different. And it's just, I mean, I'm getting so excited. I'm drooling just thinking about it. with all the recipes that they've come up with and the way that they've put everything together is just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Where is it?
Marigold. It's in Franschhoek. Sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. I got so carried away. It's in Franschhoek.
Okay.
It's sort of diagonally opposite Le Cartier, if you're sort of looking at it in terms of location. And it is just the most exquisite food. Exquisite. Really, really great. Like curry like you won't believe. And other other things. You know, they've got the usual sort of naan bread, etc. And they have this puri. This I think it's called pani puri. Yeah, it's called pani puri, and it's a crispy shell with tamarind water on the inside. So you pop the whole thing in your mouth, you bite into it, the shell crunches, and you're left with this like aromatic sort of waterfall in your mouth. It's just unbelievable. Everybody has to try it. Everybody.
Okay. So Marigold and Franschhoek, that is an unequivocal endorsement. Okay. Look, I have to say, I haven't eaten at the restaurant I'm about to name, but I'm a member of a Facebook group. It's something like the good, the bad, and the ugly of Cape Town restaurants.
Okay.
And the one that consistently gets recommended is Prim Reddy's Indian Chapter in
Table View. Of course. In fact,
note to my producer, we actually have to get Prim in as a guest one day. But that one I've never heard a bad report about.
I agree.
So I hope, there we go. There's
and she's been
options.
In a game for a long time, so she's doing something right. Yeah.
If anybody else has something to add to that list for getting really great, authentic Indian food in Cape Town, please send me an SMS and let us know where you go. In the meantime, let's take a listen to a voice note that's come through.
Hi, Papa and Zola. We have a bi-monthly dinner club, and each time there's a different cuisine selected from a different country. And next time is my turn, and I have to prepare Vietnamese food. My knowledge of it is very limited, but any interesting dishes that one could prepare from Vietnam besides your rice paper spring rolls and broth meals? Thanks.
You just took the wind out of my sails. I was going to say crystal spring rolls because they're so lovely, but now, what would you recommend?
Well, the national dish of Vietnam is pho, which is the soup, the noodle broth soup. I haven't been myself. It's one of my bucket list places to visit because apparently the food is amazing. The Sicilian that I was talking about earlier, him and his wife is one of my best friends, Kate and Williams, and they recently went on their honeymoon to Vietnam, and they came back and they said that the food is even better than you would ever imagine. So there's also Vietnam is very popular for a sandwich. They do like a baguette with I don't know what the meat is, and they do sort of like a fresh take on coleslaw. I'm calling it that, but it's not really coleslaw. It's like fresh shredded vegetables. And they said that was also really delicious. Banh mi is the, I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but that's what it's called. But I think Vietnamese cuisine is a great one for her supper club.
My instinctive response is, why don't you hop onto the website of Saigon Restaurant
and take
a look at the dishes that they've got on the menu and see if that sparks an idea.
Yeah, but I think that if you definitely include pho in there, you're halfway there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had wonderful ginger, gigantic snails at Saigon many years ago. I don't know if they still serve them. It was one day I felt really brave.
That is brave. I was just going to say
they
giant
were actually
snails.
Amazing. So maybe that's my advice, is go and hop onto that restaurant's website and see if there's any inspiration there. Thank you, Jessica, sending a message saying Marigold is amazing. We absolutely loved it. And the chef, Vani Padiyachi, is actually the former sous chef at La Cartier Francaise.
Right.
No wonder she's so good.
Exactly.
Thanks, Jessica. I'm going to squeeze in one more call, and I don't have a name on my screen. I'm not sure, but good afternoon. Just in time to take one more call for our food slot.
Good afternoon, Papa.
Oh, my word. I think I recognize that voice.
I was hoping that you wouldn't.
I think this might be Prim Reddy on the phone, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. I was just going to say the food isn't that great, but the owner's fabulous.
I hear that too, Prim. What a lovely surprise. Oh, my goodness.
You know what? I listen to you guys, to you all the time. In fact, my son calls it indoctrination because he also listens. I'm going to pick him up now. So yeah, he thinks Cape Talk is the new music.
That's fantastic. You're giving him a fabulous education already.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for the mention. And I was just listening to you guys talk about curry. And you're right. You know, food, it's such a spiritual experience. Mm. It's not about sustenance. So I understand when you have these flavors. Then I'm listening about the pani puri and this explosion and this waterfall in your mouth. And now I'm hungry. So. But anyway, but awesome, awesome show. And I just wanted to call to say, that I was listening, and thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling in, Prim. And I'd really love to have you join us in our food slot one week. I hope you'll leave your details with my producer so we can make that happen.
Darling, I will, and I'd love to be there.
Oh, fantastic. What a wonderful way to end the show. Yeah. Prim, thanks so much, and hello to your son as well, and thanks for calling in. Prim Reddy, there we go. Indian chapter.
Love that.
We'll get her in studio as soon as we can. In the meantime, I know we're very late, I'm sorry, but I just have to add, Suzanne asked me to repeat the title of the curry book. Suzanne, it's simply called Curry. There is a sort of a subtitle about stories around South Africa or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a big brown hardcover book called Curry. The author is Ishe Govende Ipma, and it is just the most beautiful book.
Beautiful.
Absolutely a highlight of the publishing year so far. Thank you so much. A couple more SMSs I'll try and squeeze in if I can after the news. Zola, it's always lovely to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Now that we've made all of our tummies rumbled in the background, let's hand over to the Eyewitness News team. It is just past 2 o'clock.